What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and this episode is going to be a bit different from the normal episodes of the show. The reason being is because this episode is actually my recent guest appearance on the Nico Penguin podcast. Nico was nice enough to allow me to repost this episode here for my audience. The reason why I wanted you to hear this episode is one, because I wanted to promote Nico's show. It's a dope show, you should really go check it out. And two, because in that episode, we went over my predictions for the 2022 Game Awards show. I gave my rundown on a lot of the games and whether or not I'd recommend them, and I gave my predictions on a lot of the award categories. So, with all that said, kick back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Nico Penguin Show, where I give my predictions on the 2022 Game Awards show. And all that's going to begin right after the intro. DJ, hit the beat. This is the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. Now, without further ado, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat.
Interview series on the Nico Penguin YouTube channel for productive gamers by a gamer with your host Nico Penguin and a two-time recurring guest Sebastian. He is the host of the Pro Nerd Report podcast, as you can see, and he is a lifelong gamer with a strong passion for single-player games and integrating some of those efficiencies into his real life. Sebastian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here, man. It's glad to be back on the show. So excited to get everything started, man. We've been doing a lot of good gaming lately. You know, I know you've been mostly keeping up with the esports stuff, doing your League of Legends thing, you know, but I felt like we had to give some love to the Game of the Year conversation here.
Yes, and thank you for bringing it up. For those that don't know, Sebastian, let me know, because I was completely under a rock just playing League of Legends all the time. That the awards are actually next year, and because he he let me know about that, and I was able to go and vote on League of Legends, everything, you know what I'm saying? But because most of the awards aren't about League, I decided to bring in the subject matter expert that plays a lot of these games to break down the games, let us know his picks, why he picks it, and who you guys should vote for as well.
Well, man, thank you for having me on the show. I think, like, there's so many categories this year in the Game Awards, the official Game Awards, and it is next week. I do believe it's, like, on the 8th, December the 8th. But, the big news that just dropped recently is that, like, for every minute that the Game Awards will be on, that they're giving away a Steam Deck. So I'm like, as long as you're watching and as long as you're participating, as long as you had, like, a purchase within the last calendar year, you are eligible to win a Steam Deck. Like, you know, and it's not just the 64 gig. This is the big mamma jamma. This is the 520 gig model every minute. Dang. Yeah. Dang. So I thought I'd let the audience know, because, like, that's pretty huge. You know, there's going to be a lot of lucky winners. And, you know, low key, this is the one time in an award show that I just want everyone that goes on stage to give all their flowers to whoever they got to give it to. You know, thank the Lord Almighty, thank their mama, their baby mama, their baby mama's mama, you know, everybody they need to thank, right. Because we need as many minutes possible.
Oh, no, that's actually pretty, pretty cool. I did not know that. Did they just do that, like, last minute?
Yeah, it was one of the announcements they announced. I think it was yesterday as of the recording of this episode. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see. And, you know, like, shout out to Valve for doing all that, you know, basically donating and giving away all those Steam Decks. So that's going to be really interesting to see. And, you know, I hope a lot of people get to win those. So, you know, like, that's always a positive thing.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. I just looked up asterisks on those that are only in the US, Canada, UK, or the EU. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, it is location based, but still, nonetheless, that's actually pretty cool that they're willing to give away one per each minute of the award. So definitely tune in to watch it live. And, you know, we got to go to the juggernaut, because the awards, it's pretty much being headlined by a few games. And I know you definitely have your eye on a few of them. And I want you to run us down on the ones that are up for grabs to win the awards, as well as your personal pocket pick that you would like to win.
All right. So let's start with the best indie category, because I think the best indie category is one of the most stacked categories this year in the award show. You know, we have Neon White, which was, you know, like my, it's an Annapurna Interactive game. We have Narco, we have Stray, we have Tunic, and Vampire Survivors. It's a stacked list. You know, like, this was a really good year for indies. There were a lot of good games. You know, like, a lot of people kind of feel like a couple of games got snubbed, but, you know, this is a really good, you know, top five list. This year was such a banger year for indie titles, and I would make the argument that outside of, like, the big AAA releases that happened, you know, earlier this year with God of War, with Horizon Forbidden West, with, like, Kirby, and then, you know, dropping off towards the end of the year with God of War, we kind of had a lull in the middle portion that indies kind of carried us through. You know, like, if you were a guy who was playing, like, Game Pass, you know, you got a lot of indies that came on Game Pass. And, you know, if you were a person who plays on Switch or on Steam, you had a lot of indies to kind of carry you through until that next big release. So shout out to the indies out there. You're absolutely killing it. Shout out to the indie developers. You did a damn good job in 2022 helping us, you know, like, get our game on. So talking about the category itself, you know, like, I think Stray, Tunic, Vampire Survivors, all fine games, you know, like, all fine games. And I'm talking about best debut indie, and then you have best indie up there.
Best debut, yeah. Okay.
Best debut indie.
Just so everybody misspoken. Can see.
Yeah, I might have misspoken, but, like, best debut indie, I think, is the category I was referring to earlier, though. But, like, I would probably lean towards Vampire Survivors, but that might be a little bit recency bias, because Vampire Survivors might be one of the most addicting game I've played in a very long time. Easily one of the most addicting games I've played in a very long time. The premise is very simple. It's very pick up and play friendly. Everyone can, like, pick up and play this game and have a great time with it. Vampire Survivors is a gem. And low-key, it's probably like an 8 or 10 out of 10 kind of game for a lot of people. It's right now you can play it on like Game Pass, both on Game Pass PC and Game Pass on your Xbox. And it's cloud gaming, so I'm like, you can play it in so many different fashions. Stray is another one. I think it is undisputedly the best cat game of all time, but, you know, shout out to all you cat lovers out there. Like, this game is absolutely killing it. Tunic is a game that I think, you know, didn't necessarily speak to everyone, but the people it really spoke to, like, it hit hard for. Narco is a game that I think had a really cool art style, a really cool aesthetic, but, you know, like, I feel like so many gamers didn't actually get to play that game, didn't really give it a chance. And Neon White, shout out to Neon White. It is a very cool art style in its own right, and it's kind of anime based. You know, if you kind of like that anime kind of flavor, that's a good game for you as well. So I think this is a strong category. I would probably lean towards Vampire Survivors winning this category, or Stray, because, you know, we got a lot of cat lovers out there. I think it's going to come down to those two, but I would probably give the edge to Vampire Survivors here.
Now, you're saying that that's where the majority are going to win, but what would you prefer?
I would prefer Vampire Survivors. I think the majority is either going to lean towards Stray or Vampire Survivors, and I think Vampire Survivors is a stronger game, but I do think a lot of people really love Stray, like, especially around the time of release. You know, it was viral about a lot of people's cats, you know, like, watching them play the game. Actually, like, the cats in the room would look up at the TV and, like, actually acknowledge that there was a cat right there. So I don't know, it has, like, a viral trend for Stray, but I feel like a lot of people are really vibing with Vampire Survivors lately.
All right, that's actually pretty solid. I'm gonna have to put my vote down. You got me convinced.
So let's go to the other indie category. So the best overall indie. Okay, so here on the best overall indie category, we have Cult of the Lamb, Neon White again. Shout out to Neon White. Absolutely killing it with the nominations. You got Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. Tunic again. Tunic and Stray both making that list. I think, you know, like, me personally, I voted for Cult of the Lamb in this category because I think Cult of the Lamb is a fantastic video game. Not to say the others aren't, but, like, I think Cult of the Lamb and Stray are the ones that speak probably to a wide variety of audiences versus Tunic, Sifu, and Neon White, which is a very specific subset of gamers. Like, Tunic is for people who like that kind of legend, old school Legend of Zelda kind of vibe.
Yeah,
those retro kind of, like, RPGs. And it, you know, like, and it kind of has its own language kind of built into there. If you really vibed with Tunic and you kind of wanted to learn about the lore and about the world, it's sort of like, it really helps you do that. It crafted a really cool world. Neon White was, just like I said earlier, really cool vibe, really cool aesthetic. I don't think it speaks to everyone. I don't think it's like quite as like appealing to a wide variety of audiences, but I do feel like the people who really played that game really enjoyed it. Sifu, though. Sifu, if you are a fan of like old school martial arts movies, like, like if you're an old school fan, like for me, watching like Rush Hour or watching like Bruce Lee movies, Sifu reminded me of like a modern day version of those kind of games. It's very much taking that like combo aspect that you would see in fighting games where you know you do like XX square or like square square triangle, taking all those combo vibes and then making it into like an open, kind of like a closed level open realm kind of area. It's not open world per se, but like you can kind of, it's an action RPG in the sense that you can kind of go through the levels as you kind of choose. You can roam through the levels like you could in a Mario game, or you can roam through the levels like you could in a just an overall like 3D beat 'em up game. So I feel like a lot of people vibe with Sifu. I do feel like the challenge with Sifu is the fact that it had an incredible like hard, it was a hard game when people first played it. It was incredibly tough. A lot of people were like detracted from the difficulty spikes in Sifu because it is a tough cookie, but it has a really cool concept. Every time you die, like a year is added onto your life, so you get older every time you die. But but like the cool thing about that is, like, you know, just like when you get older in martial arts, you learn more. You become like a sage, sensei, so to speak. So you get stronger every time you die, but you also, you know, like you get closer to your inevitable mortality, you know?
Oh,
so
my goodness.
It's a really cool concept. And Cult of the Lamb is just a gem. It's absolutely a gem. It is a sim, like a village simulator game fused with a roguelike game, and you just play as a lamb. You just simply play as a lamb who was like sacrificed to the slaughter by a group of individuals who didn't want like a demonic spirit coming back. And then that demonic spirit comes to the lamb and is like, I'm going to give you all the powers to take down the people who tried to take you down. So, and in the meanwhile, I just want you to build a following of your own. You're a cult leader. So it is a weird thing. You're like, you're playing as a cult leader of these weird and cute animals all the while where you're trying all the while where they're trying to like beef you up and make you into like a badass. So like a lot of these games are very unique. They're very, I just described all of those, and like all of those feel like games I've never played before in one way or another. But so a shout out to the indies. I think if I'm gonna be real with you though, I'm probably gonna lean towards Stray taking this because of the popularity of the all the cat fans out here. I think people are gonna vote for Stray pretty hard, but my vote went towards Cult of the Lamb though.
Yeah, they all sound pretty unique based games because just based off of the way that you were describing them, the world that they're in, the inspiration that they hail from, you can definitely see it just on the cover. You can definitely see, you know, Cult of the Lamb, the cult-like aspect. You can see the Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, you know, fighting aspect in Sifu. Definitely, I could definitely see it miles away. Tunic is definitely a Legend of Zelda. I loved playing Legend of Zelda so much. So that is actually pretty interesting. I definitely know what I'm voting for there. What other categories are you breaking down for us today?
I want to break down, you know, like I want to break down some of the unknown heroes there. I think best action game category is what we probably need to look at next. So while you're pulling that up though, I'll read out the categories. We have Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White again. Shout out to Neon White, absolutely killing it with all the nominations. And Sifu again. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge is also on there.
Yeah, when I saw that one, I was like, yo, this is going to be an action-packed category for sure.
For sure, for sure. And so Bayonetta 3, the latest chapter in the Bayonetta saga, really cool, really stylized game, especially if you like sort of like kind of anime bombastic vibes. I think a lot of people really vibe on with that. I really didn't hear a whole lot of problems about the game itself. I think a lot of the narrative was kind of stolen from it due to like the voice actor dispute and all the voice actor's claims that she wasn't like properly paid and what, and that's the reason why she wasn't in the third game. But, you know, all that aside, the game by itself is a like a really good game. It's a really good Switch title. Shout out to the Nintendo Switch games this year. Call of Duty, if you played Modern Warfare 2 before, you kind of played this game before. You know, it has a lot of the modern aspects to it. It did have a lot of the new additions to this game versus the last iteration of Modern Warfare. But, you know, I digress. It still feels kind of the same old, just a little bit of a different kind of like coat of paint. But Neon White, I spoke about it before, so same as Sifu. But I really want to shout out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, man. Because that is a game that I think didn't get enough love. It's a beat-em-up game. It's on Game Pass right now, so you have no excuse if you're an Xbox user. Check this one out. It is so dope, so fun to play. It's kind of like the throwback to that old school like arcade cabinet when you were in the arcade and you put your quarter in kick your Ninja Turtle that you want to play out and just start kicking ass. It is a throwback to that style, but with some more modern day kind of like more modern day features that kind of make it feel modern. There's no other way to say it. It makes it feel modern. But I really want to shout out that soundtrack as well, because it had a banging soundtrack. You know, Wu-Tang Clan got represented. You know, like I loved the soundtrack in this. It was so dope. You know, to see them, like the final boss fight features a fight with Shredder where they're actually where Shredder's rap song is actually playing, like from the old school games. Is so dope. And, you know, so dope. If nothing else, play this game for its soundtrack alone. So I don't know which category, like who's winning this. I know a lot of people really love Call of Duty, but, you know, since a lot of
Call of Duty fanboys, come on now.
Yeah. I really don't know who's going to win this. If I put money on it, I'd have to go with Call of Duty just because like of the sheer love Call of Duty seems to get. But since video game journalists are a lot of the people voting for this category, I could also see Bayonetta taking this. So I think it's going to be one or the other. But shout out to all these games that made it. And everyone, go play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, at least for the soundtrack. If nothing else, like go listen to the soundtrack on Spotify or YouTube because it's banging.
Yeah, the only thing is that the Call of Duty fanboys would actually have to go online and vote. And they might be too busy actually playing the game. So I think everybody actually has a fair chance because they might be too busy just like playing the game.
That's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. So I think the next category that I really want to talk about is the best narrative category.
I knew you were going to touch base on this one.
I love a narrative game. As the man who hosts the Single Player Experience podcast, which is the video game podcast where we talk about the dopest single player experiences and the dopest stories that you can get in video games, this is one that speaks to my heart. Like, I love a good story. A good story in video games is like reading a good book. So yeah. I love that. So I really want to shout out to these games, though. A lot of these are big budget games, you know, three of them insanely big budget. And then you have two which are on that smaller scale, but really punched hard with their stories. First of all, I want to shout out Immortality, which is a game not enough people played, man. Trust me. Like, Immortality is on Game Pass as well. It is a video game where there's a real life actress and they use like real life clips. It's like clips just like you would see in a movie, and they kind of splice those clips in so many different parts, and it's up to you, the gamer, to actually like piece together what happened to this missing actress based on like three movies that she was in that never got released. And the cool part about it is it's like it does have some video game elements to it, but like 100% of this game is basically like you looking at footage, like documentary footage or like movie clip footage, is just like you would when you're watching a movie like Black Panther. Like all of it shot with real life actors and actresses. So it is very unique. You know, like there's only two other games that have done this before, and they were all made by the same creator. Like extremely unique game. I think like a lot of people need to play it. The story is like twisted in a very cool way, and the story takes you in so many different places. And if you're like a gamer who loves to really just think about games and really just digest the story, or even like loves to play games and you have a significant other that wants to watch you play games but not necessarily get involved, this is the perfect game to do that, because like both of y'all would be like, what the hell is happening? Oh, that person is definitely suspicious. Oh, that person's sus. Like, it is wild. how good that story is.
And before I let you go on, I do want to give you an opportunity to give yourself a shout out where people can support you, where they can follow you, like you, because this is right up your alley. So before you continue, please take some time to give yourself some, you know, flowers.
Okay. Giving myself the bouquet here. Like, you can find me at thepronerdreport.com. You can find me on the Single Player Experience podcast, and the Notable Nerds podcast, where I interview notable nerds who are doing really cool things. If you also like video game conversations, just like we're having here, the Single Player Experience is the podcast to be. We talk about really cool, dope single player games, really cool, dope stories. The Pro Nerd Report is the site where I officially write video game reviews. And, you know, like, you can also find both podcasts on thepronerdreport.com. So definitely check that out. And you can find all those both podcasts on all your favorite podcast platforms. So if you like good, nuanced video game discussions about single player games that you should check out, or like just overall deep dives into video games like God of War, Ragnarok, like the Elden Rings of the world, like Immortality, like I just did, just go check those out. You know, I'm glad to have you. And, you know, like, if you want to hit me up as well, the comment section is always available. I will gladly talk to each and every one of you. I always love talking to the people. So definitely check those out.
Boom. Next one in the narrative, because I know this is up your alley.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Plague Tale Requiem is a game that is very, very twisted in a very cool way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever played Plague Tale, but like, the premise is that you're set in that like French Renaissance kind of time frame. It's not the exact historical time frame, but the whole like premise of the game is you and your younger brother. You play as the lady you see right in front of you right there. You play. Mm-hmm. Y'all are basically trying to figure out an overall mystery that's going on while trying to avoid people who are kind of like trying to kill you, all the while trying to avoid the effects of a plague that's going on. And this plague is like, it's twisted. Like, so many people are getting sick, but not only that, there are hordes, and I'm talking about hordes of rats that, like, as soon as you get anywhere near them, will eat you alive. Oh, yeah, I've never seen anything like it in a video game before. But like, these rats, so like, you kind of have to figure out how to avoid the rats. The rats are sensitive to light, so you can't, like, so you can use that to your advantage, you know, with fire, with different light elements. Like, so a lot of this game is about like, it's nuanced story kind of mixed in with its puzzle aspects kind of, and mixed in with a stealth, like a hardcore stealth system. So like, if you like stealth games, if you like action adventure games that have a very good story, and you also like a lot of puzzles in games, definitely check out Plague Tale. It's a very, very good, well-polished game. But all that aside, let's talk about the big three. We got Horizon Forbidden West, we have God of War Ragnarok, and we have Elden Ring. Horizon Forbidden West, to me, is the uncrowned champion of, like, it is a really good game that focuses on a really nuanced sci-fi story. You know, if it has these really cool elements where you're facing these robotic dinosaurs, almost similar to Transformers, but they don't transform. They're just robot dinosaurs.
Right.
Yeah. And you're in a dystopian future to where, like, all the people in this future have basically just bows, arrows, spears, that sort of thing. But, like, the world has gotten so far advanced. Yeah. It's like, the world has gotten so far advanced that, you know, for some reason, they have like these huge sci-fi animals, and society has fallen, and remnants of like, this is what remains of humans, and they're just trying to live their best life all the while avoiding these like dinosaurs, or trying to, you know, live around these dinosaurs that are oftentimes trying to kill them. So like, it is about Aloy, and it's about her adventures with these dinosaur creatures. So it is a very good game. The Horizon Forbidden West is a sequel, so I would definitely recommend people go check that one out. Elden Ring, if you played any games from FromSoft, you already know what that is. These games are the Bloodborne's of the world, the Dark Souls, the Demon Soul games. Like, you know, these are some booger bears that people love to play. Elden Ring is the first open world game from that company. So I definitely think people should, you know, if you haven't already, if you've been living under a rock, you know, like, check that one out. That one's an absolute gem, especially if you like open world vast games, sort of like a mixture between Zelda and Demon Souls. And then
this one, because this one is written by George R.R. Martin.
Yep. He helped write a lot of the game.
So not only the story immaculate, supposedly, it's also like on difficulty 1000.
It is the easiest of the Souls games, but that's not saying much because those games get those games get pretty hard. So yeah, those are really good games. I would definitely say like Elden Ring is one of the games that a lot of people were talking about at the beginning of the year. They see a lot of people were in love with it. It didn't quite grab me at first. And then I just, I went to play another game, then came back to it. And then it kind of hooked me. But I will say this game, despite it being written by George R.R. Martin, who wrote Game of Thrones, like the story isn't quite in your face. It is a story that you have to kind of discover and you kind of have to piecemeal together through like notes and different elements in the world versus versus the last game I was going to talk about is God of War Ragnarok. God of War Ragnarok,
the juggernaut,
is a monster. It's a monster, and it's a masterclass in storytelling, especially if you like the traditional way of like them giving you a good story where you are practically looking at, like your characters involved in the action around you and how your characters react to like the events around you. You can see their the emotional effects that the game has on them and that moments of the game take on them. This is what story should be and across all games. Like, this is absolutely one of the most phenomenal stories I've played in the last 5 years. And honestly, like, it is a absolute treat. I enjoyed every second I played of God of War Ragnarok. And to be honest, yeah, that is one of the few games I probably, like, shed a tear while playing. So it is a incredible story about a father and his son, about, like, the demons of your past affecting who you are and, how you overcome the demons of the past. It's about, you becoming your own person. There are so many different elements in this game that and so many different themes. I can't even touch on them all in like a single 30-minute span. It is. It is an incredible game. I think it is a phenomenal game and a masterclass in storytelling. If it's up to me, I think God of War wins this category hands down, no questions asked. But shout out to all the other games. I don't necessarily know where people are going to go because I do think a lot of these games, a lot of these games are really good stories. But
right.
I think a lot of the journalists are probably going to vote God of War Ragnarok on this category, though.
Well, Kratos is going to win this hands down based off of the way that you dissected that. And plus, I've heard so many great things from God of War Ragnarok as well. So many of my friends playing it. And, with Elden Ring, the only one that I even remotely thought about, but just the difficult level versus with God of War Ragnarok and having the storyline being based on, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's based off of like the Norse concept of mythology.
Yes.
So definitely an intriguing way to enhance and foretell the story in a way that I would assume no other game in the most recent amount of games has been able to do.
No, it is it delivers a kind of unique twist on the Norse mythology that you don't necessarily see. Like, I think the most recent adaptations of Norse mythology that we saw in media, would be probably the show Vikings that, is on Netflix currently. Mm-hmm. And probably, I would probably say Thor from the MCU are like the current.
Yeah.
Are what a lot of people associate with Norse mythology, or at least adaptations of Norse mythology right now. But like, I would probably say this is more accurate to like the, like what you see historic adaptations of Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And Assassin's Creed, shout out to Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah,
they did it recently, but like I think this is a bit different because like unlike the MCU's Thor, you actually got to see like what a lot of Norse mythology describes as like how Thor really behaved and how Odin
the
really
belly behaved. And all that stuff.
Yeah. exactly. So I don't, like this isn't like true 1v1 like version of Norse mythology, but I do think this is a good adaptation.
Yeah, more accurate depiction. And, I definitely knew that the narrative one was going to be the main favorite of yours with all the storytelling. And it's actually pretty impressive that you were able to know a bit about each and every single one of those, because it's just, as you mentioned, you love a good story. And this one, I could see a mile away, God of War is going to have the best storyline, unless they don't win anything else. They should be winning this one hands down. In my
opinion. Yeah, they're nominated for tons of awards, it seems like, because they're also nominated for, I think, the Best Music Direction Award and such like that. And they absolutely killed it with that. Oh, Best Score in Music. Yeah, but like it is, and by Best Art Design, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it is a really good game, really masterclass game. And I think that kind of segues us into the Game of the Year conversation for the Game Awards. Mm-hmm. This is the big daddy. Like, this is the MVP award. This is, you know, like the Lombardi Trophy. This is the creme de la creme, the top shelf, the video games that just rose above. And this is what a lot of the video game journalists in the industry kind of voted on as the top dogs of this year. Mm. And, you know, like there are some really shocking ones in this list, and not to throw shade on anybody, but
we gotta throw it. We gotta throw who don't deserve to be on here. Not, we gotta know.
Not to throw shade on anybody, but like, you know, there's so many good games this year, and you know, shout out to all the teams that worked on all these games. But I was, you know, like some of these games I was surprised to see, and then others I was like, you know, like I think makes sense. I don't necessarily think it matters who's on the list though, if I'm being honest with you, because like, I think if we're being real, it only comes down to two games in general. So I just want to shout out the other, you know, the other four games for showing up to the event. You know, you can stand up right next to the you can stand right next to the medalist, but and it's an honor to be nominated. It really is an honor to be nominated. Yes. But like, so yeah, we talked about Plague Tale earlier. We talked about Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade. I think is a game we haven't really touched on before. Xenoblade 3 is another Nintendo Switch game that you can play. It is a very expansive open world game. You know, like if anyone's played the Xenoblade games, they know what to expect. If you haven't, it is a very engrossing game, kind of similar to Final Fantasy. It has elements of Final Fantasy. I'm not gonna say it's exactly similar, but like if you do like those kind of games to where you like Final Fantasy more, not necessarily like the art style isn't very Final Fantasy-esque. It's more just about like you having elements of magic, elements of swordplay, that sort of thing. You know, that's where I lean towards it being more Final Fantasy-esque. But like Xenoblade is its own unique beast, and there it has its own unique following that's absolutely massive. And you know, shout out to Xenoblade fans, because you got your due here. You really did. You got nominated. All that said, you know, like Stray, Horizon Forbidden West, Horizon, which was my game of the year before I actually played God of War, but like shout out to Horizon, shout out to Stray, shout out to Plague Tale Requiem. But ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the two big dogs. This is like the Super Bowl, so to speak, where we have the two top teams and they're facing off and only one can actually get the championship. We have Elden Ring, which is, like I talked about earlier, is a game that people were engrossed in at the beginning of the year. People loved it. People had a lot of fun playing Elden Ring. It was all around social media. People had a joy. And like, it was such a joy seeing everyone explore the world. And, you know, me, myself, I still haven't beaten Elden Ring. It is that expensive. It is that, like, deep. But I had a lot of fun playing it. It hooked me. This was the first From Software game that I really just connected with, that really just like spoke to me. It has a very, very, very good visual open world. It has a lot of like different classes that you can play as. It has a lot of different mechanics that are new to just Elden Ring. It took what people loved about From Software games, threw it in an open world that is not just deep as far as like this is how wide the open world is, it's layered because like there are so many different caves and chasms and like levels below the earth that you can explore. This is a game that I think people are going to find little tidbits about like years from now, where like, oh, I can't believe we didn't discover this. Like, there's so much richness in the world of Elden Ring that I just, you know, Bandai Namco and From Software killed it with this game. They took something that I felt was an extremely niche genre and made it mainstream. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them. And then you have God of War Ragnarok. These two are going head to head here. God of War Ragnarok, like I said earlier, masterclass of storytelling, good sound design, good animations, one of the best games you can play right now on the PS5. I would probably argue it is probably number one, the best game you can play on the PS5. It took a story from God of War 2018, a story that a lot of people loved, and it got Game of the year it came out. So a lot of people had those high expectations. It's just a story about like Elden Ring, which is a new concept and a new game from a genre we already knew about, but presented in a new way. So versus God of War, which a lot of people love, but it is kind of very similar to what we got in 2018. So it's, I don't necessarily know where a lot of people are going to go. I know a lot of people are going to show love to Elden Ring because, again, the people who fell in love with Elden Ring really fell in love with Elden Ring. And God of War, I would argue God of War is the better game. I think it's, for me, who's a story-centric gamer, I think it has the vastly superior story there. I think the characters are more layered. They have depth. There are actually memorable characters here because in Elden Ring, I don't feel like there was anybody who really just stood out as, oh, this is a groundbreaking character versus God of War. I think there are 8 characters off the top of my head that I can go like, I love that character. I absolutely love that character. And I wouldn't mind seeing a spinoff game of just that character. Like God of War is an immaculate piece of storytelling. It's an immaculate game. The game to me is a mixture between a good story-based game and that fun, visceral, like arcade style that you would play in a Mortal Kombat or old school God of War game, like back in the early PlayStation 2 era games. It is a mixture between all those fun elements just mixed in with a glorious visual feast. And so I think the realist is just down between these two. It just kind of depends on which way the chips fall in. Is it going to be Elden Ring or is it going to be God of War? Because I think that's there's no other realistic answer here.
But what about the cat people?
The cat people are going to show up and they're going to vote for Stray. But let's be real here. A lot of those cat people are the same people who play Elden Ring and God of War. So I don't know. Ooh. Like I would be, not only would I be shocked if Stray won, I think Twitter and like a lot of the video game like social media sites would just go up in flames. I think I kid you not, there would be YouTube videos just about like this upset. This would be as big as an upset as I would probably say like the Patriots coming back from that 28-3 loss against Atlanta. That's how big of an upset this would be. God of War is just that good. Elden Ring is just that good. Like, if any other game besides those two games won, I would be shocked, utterly shocked. I think a lot of people would just be like silent in the, like, when they announced the game, I think a lot of people would be like, stunned silence. It would almost be, I think you'd hear that gasp over the television set where everybody would be like, oh shit, this really happened. All right. You remember that thing where when Steve Harvey read out the wrong award? I feel like that's what a lot of people would expect to happen in that case scenario where he just where the announcer just read out the wrong thing and people were expecting them to like go on the stage and be like, no, 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 like we know better. But yeah, it is crazy. I can't see a world where one of those two games don't win.
It's that close of a competition, you think?
I think so. I don't know if recency bias is going to lean towards God of War's favor or if Elden Ring just are the people who really just really love Elden Ring. The fanatics of the hardest of hardcore Elden Ring fans are just going to stand up and say, no, this game deserves to win Game of the Year. But I can't see a world where one of those games doesn't win.
Now, I did want to ask regarding, there are two categories that I also wanted to have a take on. And it's the audio design as well as the score and music. They're pretty much, for me, I don't really see a difference between both. But I do know that you said that a soundtrack is like so important to a game. So I wasn't too sure if you wanted to give your take regarding which one of games had the best score and music. And then I can check out the in-game audio.
So yeah, just to clarify the difference there, the in-game audio is like the sounds you hear when you do a game action, like when you play like a Call of Duty game or Overwatch game or League of Legends game, there are certain actions you associate a sound with, Like closer to like the audio design, the sound design versus a score in music. That's like what you would hear as far as like big orchestra or like the big like soundtrack and stuff like that. So that's the difference between the two categories. And, you know, like when you go to a movie, you hear, you know what a lightsaber sounds like. That's audio design. And then like when you go, and when you go to see that same movie, that same Star Wars movie, you hear that the actual music and the actual like dun 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 dun, you know, like you hear that.
So that's, this is what you love, right? Next to a good narrative. And so, out of all of these, which one makes you say clearly it was this one?
This is going to surprise a lot of people, but I also think God of War had a immaculate soundtrack. Like,
no surprise there.
Yeah, Bear McCree is like, Bear McCree killed it with this soundtrack. I want to shout him out. Like, everything about God of War amplifies what's going on that screen. Like, whether it be the little moments, whether it be like the heavy sighs where like you can see fatigue creeping in, whether it be like the moments of levity that where you can actually hear those punchline jokes, are just the overall like music that kicks in when like something badass is happening, when you're facing off against like a big boss battle. Everything feels epic and the music amplifies every emotion on that screen. So I really want to shout that game out. If it's up to me, I'm giving it to God of War again. But Xenoblade has a fantastic soundtrack. Like, absolutely fantastic soundtrack. You know, like, just like 1 and 2, like, if you liked the soundtrack for 1 and 2, Xenoblade 3 absolutely kills it. Plague Tale, like, that horror vibe, that horror suspense vibe that Plague Tale kind of, like, exhibits there is, like, it's second to none. Anything else in that genre kind of, like, doesn't even come close to that experience that you get when, like, the rats just all, like, burst through a wall and you hear that music just come through where, like, you know, like, everything's gone to hell and you need to run. Like, the music kicks in and it just amplifies everything. I think Plague Tale had a killer soundtrack. And Elden Ring, fantastic. When a boss battle kicks in and you hear that, like, the orchestra start to playing and you know, like, damn, I gotta fight for my life here. Like, the music makes you feel like you're in a fight for your life and you don't necessarily know if you're gonna live or if you're gonna die. You're hanging on by a cliff, by your fingers on a cliff. And that's, like, the magic of Elden Ring soundtrack. It's that suspense mixed in with that music of wonder when you first like walk into the open world and you look up and you see all that like glorious glow in the sky and you actually see like the trails from the actual trees, the tree itself, and you're like, and the music kicks in and it has that nice glow of, and it kind of makes you feel like there's a lot to explore here. There's a lot of wonder in the air. And I just can't shut that one out enough. So I think if Elden Ring wins, I don't think it's like a crime, to be honest. Like, I don't think it's a crime. I would give my vote to God of War, but I can easily see Elden Ring taking this one. The Two Feathers is a game, like, is a composer. Like, I didn't get to actually experience his music or their music in the game itself, because this is one of the few games I didn't actually experience this year. Like, I didn't play any of Metal Hellsinger, but I hear good things. I actually checked out a track or two. It popped up, you know, on my playlist when I was listening to video game music while I was working. So I think it's a good soundtrack. I just can't speak to what it sounds like while playing the game. So I kind of omit myself from being ignorant of that game in particular. But I think Bear McCree absolutely killed it. I think he deserves his flowers. But I wouldn't be surprised if Sato won that.
Man, that's actually a pretty good take. Like, because all of them sound like they would pretty much be right up there with the win, but of course out of war they know how to do it best. Now I do want to see if you have any other nominee that you did want to discuss, or if you had those of your majority of your choices regarding the Game of the Year awards.
So let me be frank here with a lot of people. Like, a lot of the other games categories, I can't really personally speak to, especially in the esports category. I know I can do like best role playing because I do play those type of games, but I don't necessarily have a dog in the fight when it comes to like creator of the year, best esports anything, because I'm not an esports player or usually an avid watcher. If you have any recommendations, everyone, for how to get into esports or how I can get into esports, I'd gladly like to hear that. Best sports game, I played a lot of different sports games, and I would probably lean towards NBA 2K for, you know, like my favorite sports game of the year. And, you know, like I played FIFA, I played Gran Turismo, I played Ollie Ollie World, but I didn't play F1 22. And, you know, shame on me for not giving that game a chance, but I'm not huge into racing. I'm not huge into racing, but can't really speak to that one. And I can't really, you know, outside of like the best RPG, you know, best role-playing game, which I handily think would probably go to Elden Ring. I don't even think like any of the other games came close to the quality of Elden Ring, but so I think Elden Ring is going to win that game. So I think that's pretty much what I anticipate happening at the Game Awards and kind of where I fall in it. I think the best, most anticipated game category is going to be interesting because there's a lot of heavy hitters there. There's Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I think Zelda is probably easily the most like anticipated game for a lot of people because a lot of people loved Breath of the Wild. So we'll see what happens. But I think my most anticipated game for next year is probably going to be Hogwarts Legacy. I think that studio, Avalanche Studio, has a lot to prove, and I want to see what they could do with one of the IPs that I love, and I absolutely love Harry Potter. So I really want to see what they can do with that IP. I think they're the biggest underdog of next year, but I look forward to hopefully them like rising above and punching well above their weight.
Nice. The only other one that I want to review, you might not be so privy to it, but I absolutely wanted to review the best adaptation, and only because definitely had a vote for League of Legends on this one. I don't know if you watched it, but I absolutely loved Arcane. I thought it was amazing. I watched it 3 times, twice in English, once in Spanish. I absolutely loved the show. It did such a phenomenal job. I can't believe that Riot Games did such a great job bringing to life characters that I've played so many hours, from Jinx to Echo and all the other characters that played. And a lot of my friends also played a lot of these characters, and we get to actually see them personified, brought to life via voice, brought to life via animation, giving them an actual backstory, plus having like some of the skins of the game being brought to life, because certain characters don't have those backstories. But when you add a skin to a game for the esports, you give them a completely like different background. And it was so interesting how we could see characters before they became either evil or became good people. You could see like the before, you could see the anti-hero, you could see the anti-villain, you could see the hero, you could see the villain, you could see all this in an actual show. And it is crazy because I never would have thought they would come out with such a banger of a show. The show, if you never played League of Legends, you can watch this show and still be enthralled by it. And the reason I know is because I've told so many people about the show and they've never played the game. And they're like, yo, this is so good. And I was like, I play that game all the time. They're like, this is from a video game? And it's like, yes, a video game company actually created that with the help of Netflix and I can't even pronounce 4chi. So definitely had to give them a shout out for that adaptation. I'm not taking away from the other individuals on here because I haven't seen Cyberpunk.
What? Show, Cyberpunk was good.
I haven't seen it, and I do have the League of Legends bias, but I just wanted to give that a shout out because I watched it so many times, and I also played Uncharted. But I still think that Arcane League of Legends is just like blows it out of the water.
I haven't watched the Arcane show. I will be real with you. I haven't. It's on my list of things to do. Matter of fact, I'll probably do that tonight.
You got to prioritize that ASAP.
I'll prioritize it and watch it tonight. I'll start it. I really enjoyed Cyberpunk Edgerunners. I liked what I saw from the Cuphead show. I haven't like quite finished that yet, but I liked mm-hmm. what I saw. I think it's a really cool adaptation. I liked the Sonic the Hedgehog movies, both 1 and 2, but really enjoyed 2. I thought it was a really good sequel, really fun time. Uncharted, for better or for worse, didn't quite feel like Uncharted the game, but you know, it's a movie adaptation. I do like Tom Holland. Mark Wahlberg kind of felt like just Mark Wahlberg instead of actually being Sully that I know and love, but I digress. I think it's a good fun time, and that movie's better than it had any right to be, but I would probably give it to Cyberpunk Edgerunners, but I will probably go with Arcane. Like, I'll watch Arcane probably and tonight.
Then you can make an unbiased decision, because at least I have the bias in me. You can make the unbiased decision and actually be like, you know what? Arcane is the best. And I'll be like, hey, listen, you said it, not me.
Okay. I will watch Arcane, and I will let you know if it stands the test of time. You gave it the recommendation. You gave it five, like the 5-finger slap of like, you got to watch this. So I'll definitely check this out.
Oh, for sure. But other than that, thank you so much for, you know, giving me the necessity, the requirement to do this, because I do love playing video games and I do love hearing about other people playing video games. And for some time, I loved playing all different kinds of genres, from MMORPGs to RPGs to RTS and a bunch of other, from FIFA to NBA 2K. I love Need for Speed. I can go down the list. Like, I played so many different genres, but the moment I got suckered into League of Legends, I completely just stopped with all the other games. So definitely, I appreciate you for letting me know. Everybody, definitely check out the Pro Nerd Report. I'm going to have all his information in the bio, so check him out. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And definitely vote. Vote for your favorite game. Vote for who you think deserves to get first place, because the more you vote, the more the studios see that their games, their hours, their hard work, their blood, sweat, and tears were worth it. A lot of people that don't vote don't realize that some of these studios, the engineers, the programmers, the developers, the voice actors, a lot of them, they get bonuses. They get much more pay based off of if they get awards. So if you truly value certain games, whether it's indie games or the big ticket games, any kind of games, if you value them, if you really want more of those games, or you just want them to have, some sort of recognition publicly versus other games, let them know by voting. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. You can sign in with Twitter. You can sign in with Google, Facebook, or create a temporary login if you're privacy conscious like that. But once again, thank you, Sebastian, for bringing this up to me. Make sure you guys check him out, like, comment, and subscribe. And if you want to give yourself one more plug, Sebastian, go for it.
Man, I want to shout you out. Thank you so much for having me. You know, like, I always enjoy being on the Nico Pinion show. Like, thank you so much for having me, man. Like, I want to just shout you out and keep doing your thing. Keep killing it. Like, you're absolutely doing an amazing job. So keep pushing, keep going forward. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the Pro Nerd Report for all my best, all my written reviews. And you can also find my podcast there. But if you really are more prone to like the Spotify's of the world and the Apple Podcasts of the world, wherever you like your podcast platforms, I got you covered, because they're all over the place. They're everywhere where you like to listen. So check out the single player experience. We're talking about some dope single player games all the time. We have weekly conversations called the Weekly Recap, where you can catch up on everything we talked about throughout the week. And then we have smaller bite-sized episodes. So if you're walking your dog for like a short 10-minute walk, those episodes are perfect for you. If you want something on the longer side, we got you on that side of the things too. We're talking to a lot of people. We have a lot of guests on. We're talking Game of the Year conversations. We're talking about best sports games. We have podcast episodes like for each and everything. I'll probably have Nico on soon, so can you tell me about the best things that happened in the esports world, because we want to get into all that too. So definitely stay tuned to the Single Player Experience podcast. And Nico, thank you again for having me.
That was so well done. Guys, like, comment, subscribe, check Sebastian Pro Nerd Report. It's been a wonderful, wonderful episode. And once you finish Arcane, who knows if we'll bring you on just so that you can give us an unbiased review. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. All right. Other than that, take care and have a great rest of your night.
So that's a wrap for today's episode. I want to once again thank Nico for allowing me to play this episode of his show. I want to remind you that if you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your video game backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or talk about good single player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free Single Player Experience Discord server is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay safe. I hope you have a good week in gaming, and I hope to catch you in the next one. Peace.